Have you ever been lost? I will make a little confession to you guys here, be a little vulnerable. I'm not great at following directions. When we first moved here, I had my GPS, and that thing sometimes doesn't do so well with me. And it was the first day on the job here, and I typed in Christ the Rock, and I hit go, and somehow I ended up at Menasha High School. And I'm telling you, I was following the directions that the lady was telling me. And it reminded me of a clip from the show The Office. I don't know if you're familiar with this TV show or not. It's got these characters in it. The boss's name is Michael Scott, and his cohort in crime is Dwight Schrute. And these guys are not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed, okay? And there's this scene where they're out, they're trying to sell paper to people, and they're frustrated. And much like me trying to find my way to Christ the Rock Church, I was just listening to this GPS, and I'll do whatever it tells me. I'm getting more and more frustrated because my day's not going so well, and I'm just things aren't going well. And in this scene, they're trying to get to their next location, and they're listening to their GPS. Let's just take a look at the screens here. Now, I haven't driven into a lake yet, but I will admit that my wife and I have had some conversations that are kind of like that in the car. And I'll let you determine which one of us is Michael Scott and which one of us is Dwight, okay? That's up to you guys. But we've all had that feeling, haven't we, of being lost, of not knowing where we're supposed to go, of not knowing our way. And as that happens, we get more and more frustrated and we get more and more concerned. And in those times, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to hear the wrong thing. We've been walking through the book of John as we've been going through these I am statements, and the disciples have been walking along with us, and they've been seeing Jesus and hearing this great teaching and seeing these miracles, and yet they're confused and they're feeling lost. And this morning we're going to be in John chapter 14, so if you want to get your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And in John chapter 14, we find the disciples up in the upper room with Jesus. It's often called his farewell discourse, chapters 13 through 16, and they've seen these amazing things. They're getting ready to celebrate the Passover, and they're getting there, and then Jesus starts saying all these things like, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to be betrayed, and Peter, you're going to deny me, and these guys, their hearts are just sinking. They're confused, and they're vulnerable, and they're lost, and they're asking these questions, and that's where we come to in chapter 14 this morning. Jesus says this, John chapter 14, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Thomas, this is what we call often doubting Thomas later on after Jesus was resurrected. I don't want us to call him doubting Thomas anymore. Let's call him questioning Thomas. He's asking the same questions that we're all thinking. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, and here's the I am statement. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. We're going to look at these three statements this morning. It's the first of this. He says, I am the way. And he doesn't say a way. He is the way. He says, no one comes to God unless they go through my way, me. This is huge. See, in 2019, to say that there's only one way to God is one of the most radical things that you could say. You often might hear the phrase, that's narrow-minded. To say there's only one path to heaven is seen as narrow-minded at the least and all-out bigotry at the worst. In America, we live in a society that prides itself on being, a word we often use is pluralistic. And Webster's defines pluralism as a state of society in which members of diverse ethnic, racial, religious, or social groups maintain and develop their traditional culture or special interests within the confines of a common civilization. That's a fancy way. It sounds pretty much like what America's founded on, right? Pluralism isn't a bad thing. Dallas Willard says, pluralism simply means that social or political force is not used to suppress the freedom of thought and expression of any citizen. And that's a good thing. Some might actually argue that that's a Christian thing. But today, the idea of pluralism has moved from all views are welcome to all views are valid. And there's a difference. It doesn't seem very politically correct to say Jesus is the only way. It seems so exclusive. That's the word we would use. Even the way I said that, it doesn't sound like a great word, does it? Exclusive. And I think the word exclusive has gotten a bad rap. It's taken on a negative connotation. But why do we have such a hard time with saying there's only one way to God? Being exclusive, something being exclusive, doesn't carry this heartache in other situations. Think about this. When a product is advertised as being exclusively available somewhere, that means it's special, right? When the iPhone first came out, the only place you could buy it for a long time was directly from Apple. If you picked one up from a vendor on the street or at Walmart or at the kiosk at the mall, you could be assured it wasn't legit. The only way to get that product was exclusively through Apple. Or think about it this way. If you're in a relationship, how many of you are dating right now or getting ready to date? And if you're married, you sure have had this question. I call it the talk, right? You've had that discussion. Are we exclusive, right? What's going on here in this relationship? Are we exclusive? It's not a bad thing. It raises the importance, doesn't it? It raises the value of the relationship. Married people, if you're not practicing exclusivity in your marriage, you've got a problem. Exclusive isn't a bad thing. Actually, throughout Scripture, our relationship with God is talked about in these exclusive marriage terms. We're often talked about, we often hear the bride and the bridegroom, that we're Christ's bride. And right before Jesus makes this statement, he tells them, his disciples, that he's going to prepare a place for them. He's going to prepare a place for them. That's marriage talk. That's something exclusive. In Jewish culture, when a couple was preparing to be married, the groom would leave and he'd go prepare the family home. He would go and get the place ready for his bride. And that's the same language that Jesus is using here in John 14. Christ is our bridegroom, is preparing a place for us. Exclusively. But there's plenty of room, he says. Jesus is offering this exclusive way to the most inclusive promise ever made. Jesus loves us so much, he went to prepare a home for you, for his bride. So why do we need the way? We need the way because we all get lost. We need the way because all of us get ourselves lost. So we need to understand Jesus isn't pointing the way to God. He's not a map. You might have heard it said, God is our GPS. Jesus is not our GPS in this situation. Jesus isn't pointing the way to God. He's a person. He's not a map. Jesus isn't giving us the directions. He is the direction. And there's a difference. When I lived in Illinois, there was this place called Moonshine Burgers. All right, I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It's been featured on network television shows and those Food Network things. And they're supposedly they had these great burgers. It was out in the middle of nowhere in this place called Moonshine, Illinois. Population 2, the two people who ran the place. And so when I moved to Illinois shortly after I got there, one of the guys at our church, he said, "Have you been to Moonshine yet?" And I said, "No. Where is it?" And he smiled. That's usually not a good sign when you ask somebody where someplace is. And he proceeded to tell me the directions. He said, okay, so you're going to go down Route 33, then you're going to turn at Snook's Nook, that's actually a place, and you're going to go around the corner, and like there's a whole bunch of trees there, and be looking for this big wagon. You're going to turn at the wagon, and then you're going to go through this cornfield and over the river and through the woods into Grandma's house, and then eventually you'll get to this house, and that's Moonshine Burgers, and park there. You can't miss it, he says. And I'm looking at him like, what? He could tell from the look on my face, I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, you know what? Never mind. How about I just take you there? How about I just take you there? It was a much better idea. See, he knew that I would never get there on my own. No matter how clear his instructions were, no matter how specific they were, I was never going to get there by myself. And by the way, yes, the burgers are great. But I couldn't get there. No matter how good my map was, this was before Google Maps, but even then, I promise you, it would not have done me any good. Jesus isn't the map. He isn't pointing the way to God. He is the way. If I want to tell somebody here how to get to our children's ministry, it'd be one thing if I said, well, you just go down this way and you turn left and then there's this thing. No, what's the right thing to do? I just say, I'll just take you there. And that's what Jesus is doing. He isn't pointing the way to God. He is the way. He picks us up and takes us there. See, he knows we can't do this on our own. We'll drive ourselves into the lake. You can't get there on your own. Jesus knew this. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, he says, this is good and pleases God who wants all people to be saved. That's pretty inclusive, all people. And to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. See, the first half of our Bible, the Old Testament, is all about the story of how we couldn't do this on our own. There were the rules and the systems that were put into place that would give us access to God, but even with specifically clear instructions, we kept messing up. We couldn't do it. We were told the directions, but we kept driving into the lake. See, there was, because of our sin, a separation. We've used this analogy throughout this. We've been seeing this play out about the temple. In the temple, there was this curtain that separated the regular people from God, and it was the only way to get to God, but the only person that could go through that curtain was the high priest. Romans chapter 10, verse 20 tells us, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened up for us, get this, through the curtain, that is his body. Jesus made a way. Jesus came so that we could get back access to God. I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said he was going to prepare a place for us. He was going to make the way. He was going to make the way. A phrase we often hear today in our society is all roads lead to God. And that sounds very American. We want to feel that way. Makes us feel open and inclusive and accepting of people. But nowhere else in life does this sort of logic exist. Let's say you have a medical condition. You go to your doctor and she runs some tests and you need your appendix out. Okay, so they're going to make an incision and they're going to take your appendix out. And you say, you know, actually, our appendix is connected to our large intestines. Our large intestines, they're connected to our stomach. Our stomach's connected to our esophagus is connected to our throat, and I can access my throat through my mouth. So, doc, how about you go in and take out my appendix through my mouth? Yeah, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. You can say, well, all roads lead to my appendix. And you can say that, and you can sincerely believe that, but the doctor will tell you you're sincerely wrong. It's not the way it works. If all roads lead to God, why in the world did Jesus have to die? Think about this. If there was another way, why did he choose the pain and the suffering to go to war with Satan? Think about that word war. How many men and women have lost their lives serving in war? And how in vain would that be if we said, you know, they didn't really have to go to war. They could have just figured it all out in a boardroom. 5-minute conversation, it would have been fine. We just chose to go to war and for your sons and daughters to die instead. Wouldn't be okay with that. War is the last resort, the last ditch effort, the only way sometimes to solve something. You think Jesus just thought, you know, there's lots of other ways we can reconcile man to God. There's lots of ways we can have access. Let's just, this cross thing sounds okay. No, as a matter of fact, we're told 3 times, Jesus is on his knees in the garden saying, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, but there wasn't. There was no other way. There was no other way. Don't cheapen the way by saying there are other ways. Do you know what people who followed Christ were called in the first century? They weren't Christians. They weren't called Christians. They were called followers of the way. We see this all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 9:2, it says they belonged to the way. 22:4 says that he persecuted the followers of this way. 24:14, I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way. They knew that Jesus was how you could find God. He was the way. Jesus is the way. On our own, we'll never find God. We'd be lost. The second part of his statement, I am the truth. I am the truth. John started his book with a powerful declaration of who Jesus is. He said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. And does anybody know what the next word is? Grace and truth. Truth. The Greek word is aletheia. And it's not so much just meaning facts. It's truth in the context of something that's consistent. Something that's reliable. Something you can have uttermost confidence in. 1 John 1:17 tells us, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was facing Pilate, said, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. So why do we need the truth? Why can't you just believe your truth and I believe mine? Right? We hear that said today. We need the truth because we all believe lies. We all believe lies. We believe lies about each other. We believe lies about God. We believe lies about ourselves. And we need the consistent, reliable, never-changing truth of Jesus to be our standard, to be the truth. We need Jesus to be truth because only through the truth can we see what is real. Jesus calls Satan throughout Scripture the father of lies, the deceiver. We need the truth because we all believe lies. John chapter 8, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But wait, this seems super exclusive again. You're telling me Jesus is the truth? Well, you have your truth and I have mine. Or that may be true for you, but not for me. Again, more and more of this sort of thinking just seems normal to us. And I get it, we don't want to be considered narrow-minded. Say that we somehow have the lock on the truth. But think about this. We have no problem accepting that there's a higher authority in so many things in life that has the truth. When you need to know the truth about your car, you go to a mechanic. When you need to know the truth about your bodies, you go to the doctor. We don't go to the doctor and he says, you have a tumor and, you know, there's a way we're supposed to handle this, but, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. So let's just cut you open and see what I can find. And we're not going to be good with that. There is a truth that we accept. No matter what we say, we accept truth all the time. We believe and we accept the truth of gravity. Every time we step on an airplane, we demonstrate we believe this truth. We need truth in our lives. We need truth that we can rely on. And that truth is Jesus. So we need the way because we get lost. We need the truth because we all believe lies. And last, he says, I am the life. I am the life. Jesus is the life. It's the same word Jesus used several times in these I am statements. Life, or we talked about this several weeks ago, the word Zoe, the Greek word Zoe. Real life, eternal life. Not just the things of this earth, not the things you can touch and taste and smell and feel, but the things that really matter. What really gives you life. Joel shared with us a few weeks back that Jesus came to be the door and to give us life abundantly. And not abundance like we think of abundance today. Not stuff that we can accumulate or experience, but life. Zoe. Not things of this earth, but he came to give us life, that you will have life. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Joel shared with us last week from John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What about John 3:16? We all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why do we need life? We need life because we're all dying. Romans chapter 6 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 5, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Three things. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's like the three legs of this easel. He doesn't say pick two of them. It's not like the menu at Panera Bread. You have to have all three. We have to follow his way. We have to believe his truth. And when we do that, we experience his life. We have to have all three. You have to take it all. We can't just say, well, I want the life that Jesus offers. The truth, but I'm not so sure about the way. I can't really decide that. I can't say, well, I want one of these, but not all of them. See, if we don't have all three of these, it doesn't work. We can't say, I want the life, and yes, Jesus, what you say is true, but there's no way that you can be the only way to God. If we loosen that leg, what happens? It falls over. You have to have all three. Jesus has to be the way, the truth, and the life. Or he can't be any way, any truth, or any life. You have to have all three. It's exclusive. Guess what? Everything of value is exclusive. But it's the most inclusive, exclusive statement ever made. There's only one way. There's only one truth. And there's only one life. But there's plenty of room for everyone. No matter your story. No matter your past. No matter what, Jesus has made the way for you. No matter how you've been deceived, no matter what lies you've believed, Jesus is the truth. And because he's the truth, because he's made a way, the way, you can have life with him. I get it, this is tough. There's some people that are willing to believe one of these, but not all of them, or even two, but not all three. There's some that say, I believe Jesus was a good prophet. He's a good teacher, a good moral teacher. But the only way to God, come on, it's 2019. I believe that Jesus said some true things, but the truth, the only truth, sure, he was a good moral teacher. But the Son of God, the only way to experience eternal life, not so sure about that. In 2013, Bono, the lead singer of the band U2, was interviewed by an Irish journalist. And in the interview, the journalist was pressing Bono on his beliefs. He was trying to unpack these three things. And I want to take a look at a section of this interview and see what Bono had to say about Jesus.
I look to the scriptures for poetic truth, as well as the sort of historical stuff I'm interested in. And of course, there was a historical Jesus.
No, I'm talking about God.
Oh, right.
And do
well,
you,
I see. The person of Christ is my way to understand God.
What or who was Jesus, as far as you're concerned?
I think it's a defining question for a Christian: is who was Christ? And I don't think you're let off easily by saying a great thinker or a great philosopher or, because actually he went round saying he was the Messiah. That's why he was crucified. He was crucified because he said he was the Son of God. So he either, in my view, was the Son of God or he was
not.
No, nuts.
Nuts, yes.
Forget
yes.
Rock and roll messianic complexes. This is like, Charlie Manson type delirium. And I find it hard to accept that all the millions and millions of lives, half the earth for 2,000 years, have been touched, have felt their lives touched and inspired by some nutter. I don't believe it.
Therefore it follows that you believe he was divine.
Yes.
And therefore it follows that you believe that he rose physically from the dead.
Yes, yeah. I've no problem with miracles. I'm living around them. I am one.
Bono gets what even a lot of us in the Christian community today sometimes don't get. That Jesus can't just be a good moral teacher and not the way to God. You can't take away any of these legs. He's either the way, the truth, and the life, or he's a liar. And good moral teachers aren't liars. Or he's crazy. As Bono says, a nutter. Bono's roughly paraphrasing some teaching of C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis said that Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or your Lord. Too exclusive? You know what? Jesus is all about excluding people. I've heard it said that Jesus is exclusive. He's all about excluding people from being lost. Jesus is all about excluding people from being misled. And Jesus is about excluding people from death. That's who Jesus is. If he isn't the way, the truth, and the life, then he isn't any way, any truth, or any life. So as a church, what do we do with this? Let's make sure that we understand what we're saying when we say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Chris Seidman, a pastor, said, put it this way. He says, American Christianity isn't the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is. Your church, how you grew up, the church tradition you grew up in, isn't the way, the truth, and the life. I grew up in a church that believed it was the only way. The church was. But the church, Christ the Rock, isn't the way, the truth, or the life. Jesus is. Your favorite pastor isn't the way, the truth, or life. Jesus is. Your political party is not the way, the truth, or the life. Jesus is. Your version of Christianity isn't the way, the truth, or the life. Jesus is. Why is this so important? Because we all want to know the Father, right? The scripture goes on and tells us, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know my Father as well. The disciples wanted to see the Father. They go on, if you read the passage, and say, you know what? No, the way of truth, like, okay, we just want to see, show us God, it'll be enough. Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. James Merritt said, you can be a Buddhist without knowing Buddha. You can be a Muslim without knowing Muhammad, but you can't be a Christian without knowing Christ. That's why this is so important. We need access to the Father. We need to know. We need to see the Father. And there's only one way to see the Father. It's through Jesus. There's a reason we call him Father, you know. You're supposed to have a relationship with your daddy. And I know not all of us had great relationships with our fathers. But God is our Father, wants us to have a relationship with him, to know him. That's several times in this passage, if you know the Father. He's not talking about know the Father with your head. He's talking about knowing the Father with all that you are, intimately. We've been spending this year so far saying we want to get to know Jesus, not up here, but with everything we have. And the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. It's all about a relationship. These three legs, the way, the truth, and the life, are about knowing the Creator of the universe. So you may be sitting there and maybe you're not sure. Maybe you want the life, but you're not so sure about Jesus being the only way. I get it. I have friends, people that I say that I love and care about who don't buy all three of these. And there's a part of me, and unfortunately it's the part that often drives me, says, well, I don't want to seem narrow-minded. I don't want to push him away, so I just say, live your truth. But the only way to God is to accept that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel won't stand without all three of these. We sang a song earlier, in Christ alone. Only through Jesus do we have access to the Father. So maybe you don't believe all three of these. Maybe you're wrestling with that. Maybe you know somebody in your family or your coworker, and you've been hesitant. You don't want to push one of these. You don't want to seem like you're too narrow-minded. Matthew 7 tells us, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And he goes on and he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me. You never knew me. I don't know you. You need to know the Father. And the only way to know the Father is to know the Son. The way, the truth, and the life. It's the most important decision you could ever make. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. It's the most exclusively inclusive statement ever made. So let me ask you, is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or will he be your Lord? Thomas A. Kempis, in his book, The Imitation of Christ, it was written hundreds of years ago, said this, follow me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow, the truth which you must believe, and the life for which you must hope.